Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to HDFC Life Q3 FY19 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Vibha Padalkar, MD and CEO of HDFC Life. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the discussion on our results for the nine months ended December 31, 2018. Our results, including the investor presentation, press release, and regulatory disclosures, are already available on our website as well as that of the stock exchanges. I have with me Suresh Badami, Executive Director, Srinivasan Parthasarathy, our Appointed Actuary, and Kunal Jain from Investor Relations. I will spend the next few minutes running through the key highlights of our nine-month FY19 results and would be happy to take questions post that. Starting with an update on business performance, we continue to grow faster than industry in terms of new business premium while maintaining our leadership position on profitability. We saw a solid YOY growth of new business premiums of 41% for nine-month FY19, with total APE growing at 16%. Unweighted new business group premium has grown at 39%, and renewal premium has delivered a healthy growth of 18%. We continue to rank number one in the private sector in terms of total new business received premium in nine-month FY19, with a market share of 21%, up from 18.4% for nine-month FY18. In nine-month FY19, we insured over 3.5 crore lives. Protection APE has increased significantly from rupees 407 crore for nine-month FY18 to rupees 673 crore for nine-month FY19, recording an increase of 66%. Protection business comprises a healthy 28.1% of total new business premium. We continue our sharp focus on the three tenets of protection, namely mortality, morbidity, and longevity. Our profit after tax for nine-month FY19 is rupees 913 crore and reflects a robust growth of 20%. We have maintained industry-leading new business margins of 24%. Our operating return on EV remains strong at 19.7%. Next, on channel performance, our efforts to increase our number of partnerships have resulted in our partner count increasing from 201 partners last quarter to 246, including 37 new ecosystem partners as of December 31, 2018. Our bancassurance channel contributes 67% of our individual APE and is in line with our stated objective. We have reinvented our business model to be able to compete effectively under the open architecture construct adopted by HDFC Bank and to offer the best value proposition to both our business partner as well as our customers. We have continued to grow the absolute quantum of business with the bank on a YOY basis. Our other bancassurance partnerships, including the tie-ups done this year with Vijaya Bank and Dena Bank, showed a robust YOY growth of 23%. On the agency channel front, we have added 20,000 agents on a net basis so far this year, with our total agent count exceeding 97,000. Agency is our second most profitable channel, owing to the calibrated profitable product mix distributed by our agency force. The Agency Life program, which was rolled out 13 months ago, has now been adopted in 295 out of our 413 of our locations and covers 90% of our agent force. Our focus on quality recruitment has helped us increase our new agent productivity, with 94% of our new agents exceeding our defined quality score. Our agent activation has also increased by 20% as compared to last year across our agent buckets. Our direct channel, which includes the online platform, grew by 34% YOY in nine-month FY19. We have steadily increased the proportion of our proprietary channels, i.e., agency and direct channels, from 25% to 28% on a YOY basis. Our proprietary channels put together account for 78% of our individual protection business. Moving on to product performance, our primary focus remains product innovation, right selling to the customer while ensuring profitable growth, which is reflected in the balanced product mix maintained by us. Our non-par savings business has grown by 88% on a YOY basis, and its contribution has increased from 8% to 14% during 9 months FY19. As mentioned earlier, we have continued to address the three tenets of protection and have tracked robust growth across all three segments. Our share of protection business has increased from 5.2% to 6.7% based on individual APE and from 11.6% to 16.6% basis overall APE. On the credit protect front, we have maintained consistent growth despite the slowdown in disbursements across some of our NBFC partners. This can be attributed to the wide breadth of partner coverage across the BFSI sector, regular new partner additions, and also our focus on improving value penetration and attachment ratios across our existing partners. Next, on technology and operations as key differentiators. We believe in being present where the customer is, and that is our guiding principle in helping us reimagine our product sales process. Tech-savvy customers can navigate through a paperless, cashless, and presence-less process for a superior policy issuance experience. We have also set up a separate team to engage with new-age, non-traditional partners such as Uber, Paytm, ET Money, and are in the process of deploying insurance journeys within the partner transactions for a seamless buying experience. Some of these journeys are already live and have struck a chord with the customers owing to simplified processes and instant issuance. Sustained investment in technology over the years has created another differentiator in our customer service model. Customers have 24/7 access to premium receipts and policy statements on the self-service bots on email, Twitter and chat. More than 3 lakh queries are handled on these channels on a monthly basis. Moreover, 90% of all requests are now serviced in less than 8 hours, with more than 75% serviced in less than 4 hours. Our persistency continues to be strong, with an overall 13th month persistency ratio at 86% including group and 82% for individual business. The 61st month persistency was at 50%, and we expect it to improve as the effects of an improved 49th month persistency flows in. A quick update on our group companies. As you know, we have 2 wholly owned subsidiaries that fuel our ambitions in the retirement space and the international arena. Our pension subsidiary remains the number one privately owned pension fund manager in India in terms of AUM. The AUM as on December 31, 2018 was ₹3975 crores. Its overall market share grew from 21.4% in March 18 to 25% in December 18 amongst all pension fund managers. Recent announcements such as entire 60% withdrawal to be tax-free, opening up of government employees' pension funds to private-owned PFMs, additional tax benefit in Tier 2 NPS account are likely to add growth impetus. We continue to build our life reinsurance business in the GCC countries through our subsidiary in the DISC, and I am pleased to share that S&P Global Ratings assigned its BBB long-term insurer financial strength rating to the subsidiary during the quarter. This is a proud milestone as we are only the 5th Indian lineage company to have been rated higher than the sovereign rating of India. There was also a capital infusion of ₹116 crores into the subsidiary in quarter 3 FY19. Moving on to the recent change in our corporate name. Over the years, and in particular after listing of our company, HDFC Life has established itself as one of the most valuable brands in the Indian insurance sector. Hence, with a view to align the corporate name of the company with its brand name, the corporate name of our company has been changed to HDFC Life Insurance Company Limited from HDFC Standard Life Insurance Company Limited. HDFC Limited and Standard Life Aberdeen continue to be the promoters of our company and remain committed to its long-term prospects. A quick recap of our strong financial performance in 9 months FY19. Starting with premiums, our total new business has shown robust growth of 41%. Our profit after tax for 9 months FY19 is ₹913 crores, clocking a growth of 20% with nearly 80% of profits being generated by our core insurance business. VNB growth for 9 months FY19 has been a robust 25%. We continue to maintain industry-leading new business margins amongst listed players. Our margins in 9 months FY19 is 24% versus 22.2% for the same period last year. Embedded value grew from ₹14,469 crores last year to ₹17,397 crores as on December 31, 2018, with robust operating return on embedded value of 19.7%. The annualized return on equity is a healthy 23.4%. Our assets under management is in excess of rupees 1.17 trillion, reflecting a growth of 13%. The debt equity mix as on December 31, 2018 is 62-38. Over 96% of debt instruments are in AAA rated and government bonds as on December 31, 2018. To conclude, our focus on product innovation, commitment towards diversification both in terms of product mix and distribution has helped us withstand macro as well as regulatory headwinds. We believe that our focus on the three tenets of protection coupled with our aspiration of being the leading digital life insurer in India will enable us to make the most of the long-term growth potential of our industry. We will continue to focus on profitable growth while providing the best value proposition to our partners, customers and shareholders. The detailed disclosure on our results is available in our investor presentation. In the end, I would like to thank all of you for your constant support of our company. We are happy to take questions, sir.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dhaval Gada from DSC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, Vibha. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Just one question. On slide 15, I was surprised that the cash conversion this quarter has been pretty strong. So if you see from first half to 9 months, the WIF has broadly remained stable, about 200 crore increase. But the ANAV has gone up substantially. So what's driving it? Is it a 3Q phenomenon normally or what's driving it?
Sorry, the cash conversion. This is the analysis of change in EV?
Yeah. So if you see the WIF for the first half versus the 9 month, it's broadly stable, 11,400 and 11,600.
Yeah.
Sorry, 460 is broadly stable. And what has increased in the EV is the adjusted net worth. So essentially, WIF has converted into cash and therefore your net worth is what my understanding is.
So Dhaval, this is as a result of interest rates coming down. For further, to add color, Srini, you want to?
So basically, since the interest rates fell down fairly sharply for the quarter, the net worth, which a significant portion of which is in debt instruments, they've gone up. So hence you see higher growth in the net worth compared to the WIF.
Okay, and what was the reason that WIF did not grow?
WIF is growing at the normal pace, but you had on net worth, because the interest rates fell down, that's cost on the entire net worth is just going up in one shot.
So there will be a mark-to-market gain on this.
Understood. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi everyone. Congratulations on good results.
Hi, Nitin.
Hi, ma'am. Couple of questions. The non-par savings business has increased sharply this quarter, I understand, led by the pension business. So what sort of growth momentum and composition for this business are we looking at in the medium term?
So we are very gung-ho, as we have said, in this space, and it comprises two, three things. There's a protection element, there's also non-par savings that you alluded to, and that also has a couple of aspects. So there's the immediate annuity as well as the deferred annuity, and that's grown 4x. Last period versus this period. I also mentioned in my opening remarks about us having an NPS subsidiary. We are waiting with a lot of anticipation in terms of what comes out on 1st of February in the Union Budget. So all the things that we are hearing and also have heard in the past from the Finance Minister in terms of NPS related instruments being a lot more attractive would mean that just the throughput coming into annuities also should go up over a period of time. So difficult for us to give a number, but certainly very, very robust growth should continue.
Okay. And as the segment gains size, like what will be the hedging strategy on these guaranteed rate products? Because will it be as easy to manage the interest rate risk as the segment gains size because the bond markets are still not as big in India?
Yeah, that you can see from the sensitivity slide in the investor deck. Our products are not very sensitive to fluctuations in interest rates. So we have a robust ALM backing all the guaranteed products. So we have been successfully managing it, and we are confident that we'll be able to manage it going forward as well. I don't know if you have hands on to this slide 23 where we show the sensitivity. So yeah, we are not just completely having a naked exposure to the guarantees. So we have sufficient ALM strategy backing our liabilities.
Okay.
Some of the product features, I don't want to give a lot of nuance out here, but some of the features also have a natural inbuilt hedging mechanism.
Okay. Okay. And one observation, like on the individual policies sold during 9 months FY19, there is a marginal drop. While until 1H FY19, there was just like we are growing at a modest rate.
Yeah.
So I understand that the premium growth has come down, which is like more so for the entire industry. But what explains this number of policies drop?
Yeah, so we are focused on our ATS growth, and the ATS growth that you see is upwards of 12%. So that is what really makes up for it. So focus has been on increasing our ticket size rather than selling more policies.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Sara from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question.
Mr. Sara, may I request to be a bit loud, please?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So thanks for taking the question. So one is on EV movement. So basically, it seems that for this quarter, there has been like the operating variance has the positive operating variance of 160 crores, which was still first half, has actually come down to 110 crores. So just wanted to understand what has been the slight negative experience in this quarter due to which this variance has actually means the positive variance has come down a bit. Secondly, just wanted to have a more understanding on the protection products. So if I can just get the breakdown in terms of protection AP, in terms of retail, credit protect and GTI, and how each individual component has grown year on year.
Yeah, so if I were to look at starting off with the second part on protection, so our overall share of protection individual plus group is 16.6% versus 11.6%. And if you look at it on an individual basis, it's 6.7% versus 5.2%.
So, ma'am, is it possible to get the breakdown between the different components in terms of the YOY growth numbers for the
So, individual protection grew by 41% in the 9 months. And our group protection grew by 81%. So, total protection growth was 66%.
Okay.
Your first part, we see the operating variance actually gone up from 1.1 in H1 to 1.6 in 9M. So we don't see a drop in the operating variance. In fact, we're seeing an increase in the operating variance.
Okay, maybe my mistake. I may have missed it. So.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, my mistake. So I was just...
Oh, no problem.
Okay. And one last thing, Vibha, you mentioned at the start that despite the fact that the loans have actually, the disbursements have been going down, but your credit protect has been maintained because attachment rates have gone up. So what has been the trend that you have witnessed in attachment rate, some percentages that you can share, and across which products are you seeing that the attachment rates are improving?
Yeah, so the point I was making is that we have a lot of runway increasing the attachment rate. As of now, our growth has been fairly robust, like you mentioned. But this is in the event that there is a continued slowdown that we see, then working further on the attachment rates is a way of for us to balance out any headwinds on it.
So, we are actually present on credit protect across verticals, which includes housing, LAP, microfinance, personal, tractor, all verticals across many bank NBFCs. So, within the whole set of partners, we are able to either increase the attachment rates, and there have been partners who have done still decently well in terms of the disbursements. Yes, there was a slowdown in some, but overall between the growth and the attachment rates, we have been able to get a growth on our credit protect business.
So, you know, given that if we look at the overall number of partnerships, you know, so close to 40 partnerships, it's very difficult for us to give one attachment rate. It does vary, and it also varies based on how old is our relationship. So, you know, some relationships that are now 4-5 years old, naturally the attachment rates are a lot higher than when we're starting off with somebody. So it's a wide range, and it's also, like Suresh alluded to, all the various LOBs. A housing loan could be very different to a personal loan, to a vehicle loan, etc. So difficult to give just 1 or 2 percentages. But we are working on increasing the penetration in terms of attachment rate.
And just one last question on this. So what would you attribute your growth in credit life right now? Is it because you are expanding your banca partners? Is that a bigger reason, or maybe attachment rates are going up?
It is actually both. So when I mentioned that 201 partners have gone up to 246, that is a combination of both Credit Protect and corporate agency partners. And so it's a combination of that, as well as increasing the penetration, increasing the ticket size. So all of that.
And newer verticals amongst existing partners.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinod Rajamani from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Just a few questions. Number one, you've launched a single premium unit-linked plan, if I recollect. So how is that doing? Also, what is the deferment period on your annuity product? You have different deferment periods. So what is the typical average deferment period? And just on credit life, what would be the attachment rate, say, with HDFC Bank? These are the three questions.
So on the last one, like I mentioned, not really giving specific attachment rates, you know, for partner, but suffice to say that there's a long runway. As regards the unit-linked single premium, we're very proud of that because we believe that it captures a particular market, and we're also proud because it is after us conceptualizing, going after this is on joint life. It is a tax-free product, so it really is a very different value proposition than any other unit-linked single premium product. So early days, this is single premium, so has been doing well. I think as people understand that the tax-free nature as well as relatively low-cost product that it is, it should start picking up. We are anyway fairly cautious, as you know, Vinod, on us selling too much of unit link. So we are cautious as to which channels can sell unit link products, and we are driving sales of this particular product through the channels that can afford to sell it.
Yeah. Thanks, Vibha. How much business would you be doing through this single premium unit?
So again, on that, Vinod, not really giving out individual product level sales, but it is close to getting to about 50-odd crores.
Okay. And this deferment period on this annuity product?
Yeah, so it's between 0 to 10 years.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Gulati from Hightower. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I joined a little later. Not sure if this was being asked, but margin has come down to 24 from 24.3 in half years. So is there anything to read into this, or is this just something that I'm missing here?
No, so here, Hitesh, the margin, you're saying for the standalone quarter, right?
Yeah,
so it's about 23.5% odd. So this is really seasonality. It's very difficult to exactly calibrate by you know, a few basis points here and there, but largely on track. Sometimes there is a lumpiness in expenses, or you know, we might hire a consultant or something like that. So so really it's seasonality.
Okay.
And also, you know, I alluded to earlier about the new partner sign up. Even if you look at you know, a couple of large PSUs that I mentioned, there is always a lag between revenues coming in and us having to ramp up. We have to ramp up, train, and easily there is 1 quarter lead at the very least. So it's a good problem to have in terms of us winning these partnerships and needing to ramp up. So you'll see some of that coming through in quarter four.
I'm just just one more question. What would be the growth for the HDFC Bank channel for this year?
So again, not giving individual numbers, Hitesh. So I think suffices to say that it is in line with our, with the full year growth would be in line with our expectations of overall growing ahead of how the total industry is growing, and that should continue when you look at our full year numbers. That's the case even as of 9 months.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashwin Chauhan from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Are you? Sorry. Hi.
Hi, Ashwin.
Hi. Just basically trying to, you know, going through the EV walk and trying to understand A, what has driven the large positive investment variance, and even on the operating variance side and the ESOP side, actually, I just wanted to kind of understand what's happening on the operating variance side and why do we really have a positive ESOP variance?
No, the simple question, the ESOP is really that the capital has gone up because of issuance of on vesting, nothing more than that.
It's normal
vesting of ESOP wherein shares have been issued in the normal course.
Okay.
So EV variance for the quarter has been positive, but what you are seeing in slide 15 is actually a negative number, Nishan. It's minus 0.8 economic variance. Right? You're talking about the economic variance, right?
Yeah, so the way I'm thinking about it is that I think last year, in the first half you had minus 2.8.
That's right.
So this is kind of, you know, from a quarterly basis, it's a positive delta of around 200 crores.
Correct, you're right. That's largely because the interest rates fell. So when the interest rates fall, the fixed interest securities values, they go up, and that translates to a higher FMC from your products. And therefore, you know, there was a positive investment variance for the discrete quarter, OND. So that's largely the reason.
Sure. And on the operating variance side, I guess you have a positive of around 90 odd crores again for the quarter.
Yeah, operating variance, yes, we have a positive variance. And we've always had a positive variance in operating.
Yeah, but any specific drivers if you could share?
Really it's driven by mortality variances. So we have some element of conservatism only because we've been really present and ramping up in the protection business last 5-6 years. So a little bit of conservatism, mortality, positive variance. All three aspects of operating variance are positive, but mortality positive variance is driving it.
And are you getting closer anywhere for any assumption upgrades next quarter?
So we have an annual exercise, so that happens in March.
Sure, great. Thank you very much and all the best.
No, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Dasmana from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Harshit Toshniwal from Jefferies. Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah,
please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, ma'am. Couple of questions. One, I just wanted to know that do we still maintain the similar dividend policy which we had in the previous years? So generally, we used to give some dividends for the nine-month period. This time, it has not been there.
Yeah, so Harshit, you're right. In the past 4 years, we've been giving this in quarter three. We just felt that in this year, for us to get a better view, you know, it's better for us to have that view in quarter four. So we will be taking a view as to where we end up. Hopefully, smooth upward curve, and we'll take a call in quarter four.
Okay. And one more thing, ma'am. So this is something which I was looking. So when I look at your movement of VNB from FY19 to 9 month FY18 to 19, so the impact from new business profile mix change has been around 60 basis points when I look at in terms of margin. But at the same point of time, when I compare the AP mix of protection, it has moved from 11.6 to 16.6 simply on a 9 month comparable basis. So just want to understand that this despite 500 basis points of protection mix increase, and any specific reason our margins have not picked up to that extent?
Yes, so a couple of reasons, Harshit. One is that, like I mentioned on one of the earlier callers, that all these tie-ups that we have done, there is a lag in terms of us investing in largely manpower, training, before some of these partnerships start bearing fruit and start selling our policies. So that is in the pipeline. And in any ramp-up, you will find this kind of thing because of the number of partners that we've been signing up. So that is one. Second is that you'll also notice that our unit link share hasn't come off. So as that comes off, and we're hoping that we're able to rein that in even further in quarter four, you'll find hopefully the margin uptick coming through.
Okay, and one more last question if I can chip in. So when I look at your ULIP business in on an AP terms, it has grown around 9%. Just want to understand the philosophy, as in are we intentionally not wanting to grow this portfolio at a pace we did over the maybe past couple of years, or has it been a generic slowdown in the industry which is also impacting us? Because my confusion arises from the fact that many a times people are not being able to grow the high ticket size business in this segment, and we are focusing on single pay ULIP. So just want to understand what exactly the industry is in terms of this.
No, very valid point. So if you look at slide 13 in the investor presentation, so the way we drive our product mix is really from bottoms up and not from top down at a company level. So what you see at a company level is really the outcome of how all the underlying channels, the four big ticket channels, so banker, agency, direct, and there are sub-channels within that, within direct, say, and online, how they are growing, and we drive the product mix at that level. So to give you an example, if you look at slide 13, you'll find that, say, a bank assurance channel has much higher levels of unit linked versus, say, an agency channel or a direct channel also. So the direct channel, if you actually look at online channel, that will have even lesser unit link. So it really depends on which channels are growing at what pace. So it's not a blanket whether we don't want to sell unit link products, but it's really selective as to what the NBMs are. We have driven for quite some time now, wherein each one of our channels is standalone profitable. And like I mentioned in my opening remarks, that our agency channel, for example, exactly for this season, has been very profitable and the second most profitable channel. So that's how we drive it. So what you'll see, even say at the end of quarter four, will be an outcome rather than for me to say that, will it go down or not. I can certainly say that if you were to look at our individual channel levels, you should see a downward trend.
Okay. Okay, ma'am. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, you requested to please limit your question to two per participant. If time permits, you may join the question queue for any follow-ups. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nitesh Jain from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So on participating, we are seeing that the share of participating products have been consistently coming down. So is there anything that we are doing consciously, or is it just a market phenomena?
So it's really a question of, what do we focus on? And because we've been focusing on non-participating, both savings and protection, and that's really, so it's taken, participating has taken a little bit of backseat. But we've always believed that there is a place under the sun for participating products, especially channels wherein there is a fair amount of hand-holding, like the agency channel. And that will always remain. And so it really depends on whether the agency channel grows very well, and so both the participating segment as well as non-par segment grow well. So it's more a cyclical thing in a particular period that we're focused on non-par, but that's not to say that we don't want to sell participating products.
And secondly, how one should look at the margins going forward, given in 9 months the margin has slightly fallen versus our H1 trajectory. So do we expect margins to remain stable going forward, or we expect improvement in margins going forward?
No, absolutely. To remain, at least to remain stable, to your point about quarter three margins having slightly dipped, and I alluded to the reasons why, because of all the partner tie-ups, and the fact that there is a lag between us ramping up in terms of manpower and training and actually starting the clock on premium income. So no reason to believe that what we have demonstrated in terms of protection and the protection share going up to 16.6% and very rapid increases in also our annuity business having grown by 4x. No reason to believe that our margins would not continue smooth upward curve.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neeraj Toshniwal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi ma'am. Can we have persistency across cohorts if it's available in 9 months 19?
Yeah, it's actually there in terms of on slide, I'll just get that out. Slide 20.
Okay. So what is the reason? I mean, the persistency has been actually a little come off from 13 month as well if we compare the last month, last 9 month, 18. It was 86.44% to be precise.
So you're comparing with H1?
No, last year same time, 9 month, 18. This is slide depth.
Sorry, which slide?
So, no, I have the number last time. That was 86.44%. And this time, it's just mentioned 86%. Just wanted to have some color. So, how much has been the exact number or what has been the... Are we seeing any dip in persistency?
Can we give that to you separately?
Sure. That is fine. And in terms of VNB, walk down, I understand you given the reason that there is some gestation gap that reflects into the... And probably with the lag. But we have been doing tie-ups consistently. Anything different we are doing this time? So the strain has been higher in terms of training and manpower. I mean, anything different we are doing or just that normal business which has led to just a blip in this quarter?
Yeah, I think like 10-20 basis points is something that is a normal, you know, some lag. Because the two tie-ups that we have with Dana and with Vijaya, we haven't had that say in the last year. Because these are quite significant significant association that we have. While we might have had at a smaller level. So really it is a particular quarter rather than anything else. Or unit link in certain channels have also been slightly higher. And that would also bring down the margin. So it's a very temporary kind of an impact.
Thank you, Mr. Toshniwal. May we request you to join the question queue for any follow-ups as we have several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Anived PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. You know, Vibha, if you could give us some sense, what have we done right that, you know, we've grown better as compared to other private players, especially in the context of ULIP, which is, you know, the largest contributor in terms of AP for most of the private players?
So I think our ULIP share actually is lower than our peer group. So I'm not very clear, frankly, on the question because while we have grown overall, but in terms of if you're alluding to just the ULIP share.
I'm not talking of the share. What have we done right in ULIP? So obviously our share in terms of ULIP is lower in terms of the mix at around 59%. But what have we done right in ULIP? Because if I look at the overall AP growth, it's better than the industry. And ULIP is a larger part. So in that context, I was trying to understand.
So look, Suresh, we've always managed to maintain a balanced product mix in our portfolio. Like Vibha had mentioned earlier, it is also a question of looking at which of the channels we drive and which are the focus segments that we are looking at. So a large amount of our focus has gone into driving protection, driving annuity. And, you know, even let's say, for instance, in agency, even if we were to sell a ULIP product, we have concentrated on consultants who have been with us and have delivered a very high persistency in ULIP. So there is a very segmented focus drive in terms of which product we would like to drive through which channel. And if you were to use a UL, it has to be in terms of which product, what tenure, who are the people selling. And that has probably that kind of clear focus has given us our overall APE growth across sector and maintained our ULIP at a certain portfolio level.
And to add to that, we've also been selling ULIP along with a combination. So, you know, that would enable us to give an all-round kind of value proposition to the customer rather than only ULIP. So we might sell a rider or a protection or something else along with the ULIP for the customer to not have to go and evaluate
elsewhere. Okay.
And we also have something called MyMix, which enables them to plug and play to see how two different products together would mean one experience, one onboarding, one conversation at one time. So those sorts of things that we've been doing quite effectively for quite a few years.
Okay, that is helpful. And secondly, you know, you mentioned about the 37 non-traditional ecosystem partners. So what is driving this? And, you know, can you give us some color? What kind of work we are doing which can give us early mover advantage, and what kind of scale we see through these channels?
Yeah, certainly. And we put up some of the flags in our investor presentation also. But we've worked on this space for at least the last 4 years. So if you look at slide 10, we have quite a few flags in there. And what we've also done, and again this is going back in time, is to look at various ecosystems. So the health, entertainment, education, telecom, mobility. So we identified and did a lot of research in terms of what is the buying journey. How can we give a very ease of onboarding to a customer of one or more of these ecosystems? How can we use analytics to figure out as to how can we give ease of KYC? Aadhaar could have made a very big difference. Unfortunately, it has taken a little bit of backseat. Hopefully,
right. Those
things we would be able to ping Aadhaar data once again to give that kind of experience. So understanding these ecosystems, partnering with them, often they themselves have not realized the kind of customer base that they have.
Profile, right.
That's right, yeah. So it's a whole host of things which have, this has not happened overnight, and this is something that one needs to understand. What is it that interests those partners? What is it that interests those customers? How can we use analytics to give them differentiated service? So everything, how do we reinsure some of that business? What are the risks that we take? How do we manufacture products that make sense for us to sell through these very simple distribution channels? So it's a very holistic strategic plan that we've been working on.
So we've looked at simplified products. We've looked at, you know, pre-approved, summer-short kind of products where we understand the customer, the ease of journey, which part of the transaction journey. So the models across each of these partners is very different. I think we are working very closely and experimenting with each one of them. There have been a few initial success, but, you know, obviously the customer out there is happy to take any product which is easily accessible to him. So we are looking at reaching out to our customers across all these platforms.
Thank you. Mr. Kapadia, may we request to join the question queue for any follow-ups? Thank you. We have the next question from the line of HR Gala from Finvest Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my question. Just two things I wanted to know. In your presentation and press release, nowhere we have mentioned how much is the individual APE amount. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, certainly. So the individual APE for the 9 months is 3,363 crores.
Three thousand three sixty-three crore.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And you know, if you look at the slide number 12,
yeah,
where you are giving the increasing share of protection basis NBP, that means it is a total new business premium.
Yeah.
Now there, 22% is the share of ULIP.
Yes.
Okay. Whereas if I see your earlier slide, and you know, again on 12 number slide, there is a note as a percentage of individual APE. So I got confused.
Yeah. So we've given two data points here. So what you see in the in actually the boxes is based on individual APE.
Okay.
Sorry, this note one is actually not referring to the slide that you're talking about.
I'm talking about slide number 12.
Yeah.
Whereas that chart gives increasing share of protection basis NBP. That means all the numbers are based on the new business premium, which is individual as well as group.
Yeah, so all of these numbers over here are basis NBP, like what the title says. So you can ignore the note one.
I should ignore note.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then the one which is on the earlier slide, you know, which gives 59% as the share, that is basically on basis of individual APE.
Just 1 second, let me just get to
that. That is slide number 4.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Okay, 59%. That means as far as individual business is concerned, it is still more tilted towards ULIP.
Yes, you're right.
As compared to us.
Yes, correct.
Okay, okay. That was the only clarification I did.
Oh, no, no, absolutely, you're right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Marathe from Akash Ganga Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Rahul.
Thank you for taking my question. So my question is related to open architecture that HDFC Bank has adopted. So if we look at the monthly new business of other insurers, Tata and Birla, so we see rapid growth in that channel that those players are doing. And also if we compare the pricing of their products in protection vis-a-vis ours, we find that they are pricing very aggressively. So what are our thoughts and how do we plan to maintain our market share in HDFC Bank's channel?
So, two, three things. One, of course, you know, HDFC Bank went into multi-tie with a stated objective that they will look at incremental growth which is coming in through these partnerships. You know, and if you really look at how HDFC Bank is growing as compared to some of the other peers in the banking, they have been partly and fairly successful in terms of being able to. So despite us, of course, having a multi-tie architecture and two other players coming in, we have been showing growth overall at an individual level. So we do believe that, look, there are initial settling in which will happen with this open-tie architecture, but it will lead to a long-term growth for all partners and players. We obviously have a strategy in terms of what we want to do in terms of the product mix. You know, obviously everything is not just based on pricing. There's a lot of work involved in terms of technology, understanding customers, propensity models, combination products. You know, so we have done a lot of work and we do believe that over a period of time, all of this will finally translate to net benefit to the customer and overall growth. And frankly, if you ask me, over a period of time, do believe the other players in the industry who are single may also look at multi-tie as a way forward.
And also, you know, we have driven product innovation here, and we talked about earlier with one of the other callers on what we have done on launching our deferred annuity. That's done extremely well in HDFC Bank, and it's those sorts of things which keep everyone on toes so that the best value proposition is offered to the customer. I think that is what is the end game of multi-tie, which, like Suresh said, hopefully really it becomes, it is rolled out across other banks also which have not opened up.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before taking the next question, I'd like to remind the participants to limit their question to one per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul Mehra from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, ma'am, and good evening. Ma'am, just one question on pure protection in terms of overall, if you were to look at it, we've done quite a commendable job. But if you were to look at only Banca as a channel, so the number of, if you look at the protection mix within Banca, it's always been around 2%, 1%.
Yeah.
And even now it's about 2%. And just a case in point here, if we look at one of our competitors for this particular financial year, they've really dialed up growth on Banca-oriented pure protection. It's about 4.5%, 5% now that they're touching in terms of the mix within the Banca business.
Yeah.
So this particular channel for us, and given that the banker partner for us has one of the richest pool of 4.5-5 crore clients, so what are we doing here to really dial this up significantly? Because all the other channels for us are around a double-digit mix in terms of protection, while this continues to be around 1 or 2%.
So bottom line is that we have to write profitable business within the risk framework that works for us. It is also a function of where we believe that this will cross all the hoops in terms of financial and medical underwriting. And we believe that the business that comes through our door, we should be comfortable in what we believe is a risk that we can take onto our books. I think what I would like to draw your attention to is that other than protection, to also look at the other tenet of protection, which is longevity protection. And in Banca, you will see the phenomenal increase, 50% increase between 8% going up to 12%. And while we have admittedly only doubled, we have grown from 8% to 12% on the other part of non-par others. So that's what we're focused on, because bottom line is, we believe, like I said, it has to make sense in terms of crossing our profitability hurdle rates as well as the risk that we are writing. And without, you know, alluding to too much more, that's why we found solutions in the other part of protection, which is longevity.
But Atul, having said that, I do believe that, yes, the protection gap and what we can reach out through Banca in terms of increasing our protection share, there is a clear focus in terms of how we can value add. For instance, our current protection product has variants which, you know, can give multiple benefits to the customer. So over a period of time, you will find that a lot of combination products or our effort in terms of increasing term or bank assurance will continue to go up.
Absolutely, and that is what we call as a Swiss Army knife type product. And to give you to, and this has been a product innovation for us, wherein just that one product can suit several types of customer needs, including coverage of their spouse, increasing coverage, part payout, along with part lump sum, you know, all sorts of things, riders attached to it. And we've been selling that particular product for quite a few years, at least for the last two to three years. So we're wanting to stay away from the game wherein protection was becoming a very fungible product, a very commoditized product, to how do we ride up the value chain to be able to tell the customer that, hey, you know, look a little bit longer term, look at it holistically, look at how you want to cover, say, your spouse who might not be working, how do you cover a very early death because that payout needs to suffice a younger spouse who might be alive for several decades after the proposer is no longer around. So that's the kind of innovation that we are known for, and so we want to go up the value chain even in the protection space rather than just having a single conversation just on price.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The next question is from the line of Manish Shukla from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. The total AP protection, which is 16.6%, could you please split it on the same base for across UTI, credit life and individual?
So you want that in rupees, Manish, or how do you...
No, in proportion, as in the denominator, if you keep it as total APE rather than individual APE, I'm saying that 16.6, how does that split across the three product lines?
On the basis of individual AP?
On the basis of total AP.
Total AP.
Yeah.
So can we give these numbers separately to you,
sure.
Manish, because I don't have these readily available in the format that you're asking.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Second is, of your credit life book, how much would be HDFC Limited approximately?
So entire HDFC group put together is less than 28%.
Of the entire credit life?
Yes.
Okay. Lastly, you said Banca is 67% of individual. Of this, how much would be HDFC Bank?
Just give me a moment.
Or other non-Banca HDFC Bank, how big is that piece? Again, approximate number is fine.
Yeah, so about 58% is HDFC Bank.
58% and so balance about 9% is other channels.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. I'll check again with you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Manish.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishant Shah from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi. Almost all my questions are answered. Just one question. I think a few quarters ago you had mentioned that the scope now to add new partners is limited. Like you've already added a lot of partners, and here on the growth will come from higher attachments and more higher basically sum assureds being sold. So in this context, like this almost like 45 partners added this quarter. Like what kind of partners are these? Like, you know, are these still NBFCs? Is there still more room to go in NBFCs, or are these like the new ecosystem partners or something like that?
There are a lot of cooperative banks. We've always been focused on all sorts of corporate agents as well as master policy holders or NBFCs, HFCs. These are a large chunk of these are cooperative banks.
Okay. Would it be... Sure. How many cooperative banks have you had so far, and like, what are the attachment rates you see in these cooperative banks? Like, would it be fair to assume that these are not going to be as high attachment rates or as lucrative partners as compared to, say, the NBFCs that we've had so far?
So it's a mix. So we might have signed up cooperative banks. We'd also have signed up some of the public sector banks. So it's completely a mix. There are also new ecosystem partners. Some of them we can't name yet, but very, very marquee new ecosystem. So it's a combination. But yeah, I think if you were to just ask about cooperative banks and how much of the attachment rates, naturally it is going to be a lot lower than some of the more evolved banks. But in, you know, a lot of these banks do surprise us because they have a niche market and they also have loyal customers. And bottom line is there is no partnership wherein we would write loss-making business. So the fact that we are in a partnership with all these various outfits means that it has to be a value proposition for both customer, the master policy holder and the company. So although it might be small, it would be profitable.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket Goda from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand what is internally, if we have budgeted, what annuities business would be contributing over a longer period of time to our business. And also wanted to understand whether annuities would be broadly around the margins which we report or they are better than what we report on overall basis. And the second question is basically we have entered into tie-up with Vijaya Bank and Dena Bank. Now over a period, means maybe in next few months or few quarters, it would get merged with Bank of Baroda. And Bank of Baroda itself is a manufacturer of life insurance business. So do you think this open architecture will again play out in this whole tie-up thing? So just wanted to know your thought process, how it could be playing out going ahead.
Yeah, it's a good question. Because I'll take your last question first. We have coincidentally tied up with both Vijaya and Dena. And we would like to see the glass half full. So we would like to believe that the combined entity would come up with an RFP, because that is without an RFP for any bank to have a unilateral deal, we believe that might not give the best value to all the stakeholders concerned. And if in the event of an RFP, we are hoping that what we are able to showcase as to what we have done in terms of penetration with both these banks would be would show the promise that we can deliver against the combined entity. So we sincerely hope that we're able to give a chance so that the combined entity is not leaving money on the table and is able to embark on a journey that is very clearly witnessed by some of the leading private banks. So that is on that point. I didn't quite catch your question on the annuities.
I think your question was on margin for annuities, is that right?
Yeah. So whether they are broadly in line with our overall margins or they are better than, I mean, just indicative numbers. I am not looking for the precise numbers. So since we are focusing on this business, if the contribution of this annuities keeps on increasing, then there is a clear indication the margins could further expand with the overall contribution of annuities. So just wanted to understand, being a non-par saving product, the margins being higher, so whether it is ballpark over or below the overall margins what we report.
The fact that we are focusing on this segment means that it should be well above a company average. So yeah,
okay.
But I can't give the exact number, but suffice to say that it's well above the company average.
See, we see two advantages in this. Firstly, it targets an absolutely new set of customer segments for us. You know, it's you know, LIC has been a large player in the annuity segment. We have come in, some of our rates are better than LIC. It within even our customer fold and what we play through our partners, this is an absolutely new segment. So it allows us to give incremental growth to us and the industry. Second, obviously, like Chini mentioned, it is better in terms of the margins, so it allows us to improve. So your question in terms of whether we will continue to focus, yes, it should continue to focus and hopefully push our margins up. I would also like to add on Vibha's first point on the Vijaya and Dena Bank. I think the very fact that two of the PSU RFPs we participated in one tend to show that look, both the banks went through a very rigorous process and chose us. And if you were to look at IRDA's objective of doing multi-tie, and if you remember the initial mandates in terms of how each of the banks is expected to, I would think that even Bank of Baroda in the combined situation would want to see the benefits that we have brought on to Vijaya and Dena, which is also the reason why we have invested in terms of people and manpower in Vijaya and Dena, and we hope to continue this journey when the merged entity evolves.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhuvnesh Garg from SBI Cap Securities. Please go ahead.
So, Nish?
Yeah, Mr. Garg, your line is unmuted for questions. You may please go ahead. Since there's no response on the line, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Pratik Poddar from Reliance Nippon Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, ma'am, when do you see share of protection business in our basis APE peak out? In the sense, where do you want to restrict this part of the business? Is there a natural limitation to this part?
So if you look at slide 13 again, you'll see, and one of the earlier callers did talk about non-par protection in banca just being 1% and going up to 2%. So really, there's a lot of runway for us to innovate in the protection space, because it's by no means maxed out in terms of what we can do on product innovation. We do have some tongs in the fire, and we are hoping that we are able to talk about it very, very shortly. So, and we believe that that product would be a very compelling offering that we can make. So, when you just look at the individual the protection numbers in these channels, you'll see that really it's quite underpenetrated in certain channels. So,
but how should I think of this? Where does this peak out? I mean, I understand today the size. I mean, the size is very small, but I'm just taking. I mean, I'm just thinking of it. Where does this peak out, or do you have any number in your mind, or what do you have budgeted in the sense in the next 5-6 years? Protection would not be the next leg of growth for VNB margins. We would need. I mean, obviously that's not, but
yeah.
that leg would have been over is what I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah. So. The way we see it internally is based on segmentation. So segmentation both in terms of age group and segmentation in terms of metros, non-metros, etc. So if we were to look at non-par protection, this is on slide 37, the average customer age of non-par protection is only 34. So this is really very, very nascent versus some of the other channels. Which might have a slightly more older customer. So this is just the beginning. We're talking about the entire millennial population that would not even bat an eyelid in buying protection, because they don't have the kind of barriers in their mind which say that if I survive, then I've wasted money. And when you convert the premium into saying that this will cost you as much as a ticket in a multiplex on a weekend, it just puts things into context for them, as well as the buying journey. If the buying journey is coupled with ease of onboarding, very little KYC, you know, all of those things. So this is just the beginning in terms of us tapping the younger population, and also, like I mentioned to you, in terms of the going in a further penetration in terms of moving away from just the metros, which is how where it is today, and that too word of mouth and people experiencing. Also, you know, some of the schemes like PMJJBY, and we have taken a leaf from that book to say very simple in terms of onboarding. The protection gap continues to be there, so it's a question of how do we get to the customer at fairly low ticket sizes without troubling him or her too much. That's what we need to solve for, rather than worrying about has the demand maxed out.
Also,
understood.
People may be taking some assurance of say 50 lakhs when they are say 25 years old, but you know, as they get married and have children and all that, you know, when they are in the mid 30s, they probably need about 3-4 crores. So even the existing customers, they actually top up their protection needs as they go along. So, I believe that there is strong demand for protection, and it will continue to be there as long as the demographic profile sort of, you know, ages into, say, in the 50s or 60s. So currently we are in the mid-20s, so at least for next 2 decades, I see the protection demand being robust in our country.
And ma'am, thank you so much for this detailed explanation. Ma'am, second is on the ULIP part. If I look at equity markets, they are a bit weak, and for the first time in December, X of the Fed book mutual funds saw a redemption. How should I look at that part of the segment? Are you seeing any headwinds in terms of growth over there?
We are actually seeing, for us it's tailwinds, because we hope to capture the space that to some extent mutual funds might be struggling with vis-a-vis their bancassurance partners, for us to be able to offer alternates to which are similar to mutual funds, which have even better IRRs along with life cover sewn in, especially if you were to look at our single premium ULIP product, which is very, very competitive, is tax-free, and could just fill in terms of the space that I'm not saying vacated, but certainly is under some level of stress. So definitely tailwind for us.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Bhuvnesh Garg from SBI Cap Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Could you please share the breakdown of group protection AP as a percentage of total AP?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, it's 16.6% as a percentage.
Okay. In terms of group credit and term? Hello?
We'll circle back to you with those details.
Okay, ma'am. Fine.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayur Parkeria from Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, ma'am. Congratulations on great set of numbers.
Thank you, Mayur.
Ma'am, I have just one question with respect to individual AP. So, ma'am, can you please give the number for individual AP 9 months, FY19 and Q3 FY19?
Yeah. So, for the 9 months, individual AP is 3363 crores.
FY19?
And for Q3, it is 1267.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would like to hand the conference over to Ms. Padilkar for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. As mentioned, the detailed disclosure on our results is available in our investor presentation. I would like to thank you all for participating in this quarterly results call. Good night.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of HDFC Life, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.